right. Good morning, everybody. Today is Thursday, September 15th, 2016. And this is Before the First Cup of Jewels here on UCY.TV. Happy Thursday, everyone. It is 56 degrees and very cloudy here in upstate New York. Sorry about that. Not sure what happened. Wasn't feeling too hot today and actually considered whether or not I was going to take a day off. Decided I was going for it. Went to dial in and poof. Skype apparently turned itself off between anti-media ending at midnight and me doing a live show at 10 a.m. So I'd love to know how that happened with no intervention. So where do we leave off yesterday? We titled the show White House, Precision Medicine, Biopharma, CRISPR, and Technocracy. And I tried to outline to you some of the things that have happened over the last year or so in looking at White House edicts in regards to precision medicine and 21st century healthcare to show how we've been sold to the machine piece by piece, DNA strand by DNA strand, A, T, C to G, and now X and Y. All in the name of curing disease. So today, I'm going to continue. We're going to look at some things that have occurred because of these initiatives. We ended the show yesterday looking at DARPA and their morphing biological materials. But I think we're going to get back there toward the end of the show. I need to have a few things I want to do before then. All right, everyone says they can hear me good, so now I got to concentrate. Get back. I don't know, guys. Today's not going to be a good one. Not only did I have a pounding headache from last night still that did not go away when I went to sleep, but then I poured a cup of coffee that I spilled on the counter. But it's all right. I wiped it up. I went out the back door and went to come into the office. And as I came in the door, something that didn't register at first dropped into my coffee, and I thought, oh, look, a bug. So I set it on my desk, and then I scooped it out. I usually don't worry too much about bugs. They're harmless. Went to take a sip, and then my brain caught up to what I saw, and it was a mummified bug that came from the spider that lives outside the back door, and I said, no. I had to dump that and go make myself a fresh cup. So then I sat down again. I still hadn't really had time to put anything together in my head and then realized the server was offline, so it was 4 minutes of struggling. So whatever. It's Thursday. It's been a long, long year so far. All right, let's start this sucker over. So we looked at White House, Precision Medicine, Biopharma, CRISPR, and Technocracy. We looked at Splicing and Dicing, Georgie Porgy Church's technology, along with Jennifer Doudna, Joe Biden taking over the cancer moonshot as part of the entire country's precision medicine initiative to boost the economy, kick us back into first place in the world for science and technology. Remember, the sad fact of the matter about all of this is that a lot of this mad science, a lot of the splicing and dicing, first originated in places such as Fort Detrick, Maryland, and Plum Island as a part of the biowarfare program. We'd been messing around with doing all kinds of scary things in the lab, all in the name of keeping you safe. And then when, I was going to say Lincoln. No, it wasn't Lincoln. It was Nixon. When Nixon finally inked, see, brain connection, brain tongue connection isn't working this morning, inked the agreement to get rid of biological weapons. But remember, we maintain that vaccinations would be on the offensive. We were going for the defensive, whatever it would be, to protect ourselves from pathogens of other countries. But we've outlined how it's been a complete orgy of innovation since then, since the 60s and the 70s, rolling out these new quote-unquote vaccines. But when we started digging into some of the research that they were doing, there was a lot of stuff that had to do with being able to splice and dice vaccines into food. We found out that's where the first genetically modified foods came from in the lab. So when they were messing around with inserting things that shouldn't be there. And in some of the earliest cases, they were putting vaccinations into the food. Those were your edibles. Well, God forbid we can't have edibles here because they might get mixed up in the food chain. And you might not know what you're eating, American consumer. And that's a bad thing because we know how much you want to know what's in your food. We know how much you love that high fructose corn syrup. There's lots of tinfoil hat wearing crazies out there telling you it's bad for you. Don't listen. No, I'm pretending to be them. Yes, listen. Because then we had this Monsanto Protection Act that went through, I don't even remember when it was. Last year, the year before. Hold on, I had a link to this at the end of the show. This says 2013. Criticism slams Obama for protecting Monsanto. We had discussed this even in regards to vaccinations. There's the VRS database that if you ever end up vaccine injured or have a vaccine injured child, you cannot sue the vaccination companies, even though you don't get full informed consent as to what is in the vaccine, even though when you ask questions about recombinant proteins or bovine serum that you found in the ingredients list on a vaccination, your doctor looks at you and says, you're one of those people. You know, you're ostracized. You're not allowed to ask because, you know what? Shut up and take your vaccine. I mean, let's not even look at the obvious culprits of formaldehyde and mercury. And I know, whatever, they're like, yeah, well, we've gotten the mercury out of most of these vaccinations. You haven't gotten all the other crap. Then I'm reading studies just recently about how many of the original germlines from the very, 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 very beginning when they started working on some of these vaccinations, like some of the standards, like the polios and the measles and whatever, are contaminated. They're contaminated by multiple animal material that should never be in there. They were finding hairs from other creatures. There was some researcher I was just reading something with. And he was told, when he asked about it, that, you know, things like that happen. It's not an exact science. Don't worry about it. But he often wondered how that was going to affect the people that were having these substances injected directly into their bloodstream, not passing through that blood-brain barrier, but being given direct carte blanche access to the bloodstream and the cells. Guys, you know, we've talked a lot about that blood-brain barrier and about ways to get nanoparticles into your body. They've been working on that for a long time as well as part of 21st century medicine. And they found that two of the best absorption locations are in the small intestine and through inhalation. Now, a lot of us have this leaky gut syndrome that's caused by a cascade of events that happen after ingesting lots of glyphosate, aka Roundup, causes this cascade of autoimmune diseases that cause your gut not to work properly, that kills your gut bacteria, that causes you to get leaky gut, and then autoimmune and all these other diseases that I've battled my last 20 years to get over. But with leaky gut, now things that weren't supposed to get into the bloodstream are getting into the bloodstream through the small intestine. It's been made porous. Your protections have been damaged. They also discovered that with things such as ultrasound, there's tons of research going into frequencies right now. That's something that I need to put on my thinking cap, and we're going to do about a whole month on frequencies, I think, but I really need to dig into it. I need another computer somewhere. There's so many computers, and they got so many different projects open on them from so many different facets. There's just no more tabs can be opened. I mean, honestly, if you saw these machines, just the two in front of me, you would go, holy shit, Joel. There's three browsers on each, plus remote apps tied into my servers, plus all the cutting apps and whatever, and then 32 tabs on each browser open. It's just not good. I beat my machines pretty badly. But anyway, the ultrasound, they discovered all in the name of curing Alzheimer's, really helped open that blood-brain barrier through the inhalation route. In order to get nanoparticulates into the brain. And when we start looking at a lot of the technologies, wireless technologies everywhere, ubiquitous computing, we're going to put it in your clothing soon. So don't worry about any of the research that's come out recently and has seconded the research that we saw back 10 or 20 years ago saying that, oh, cell phones and cell phone radiation might cause brain tumors if you put that thing close to your head. And then more research that said Wi-Fi, whoops, Wi-Fi, right now, 802.11b, I think I'm on, but 802.11b and up, works on some of the same frequencies as microwave ovens. 2.4 gigahertz, and the 5.8 gigahertz, and then we're going even higher. We have this new, right now I don't remember, the new technologies, tetrahertz radiation, tetrahertz waves that they're going to start using, and 5G as part of these Google and Facebook, which blew up on the satellite with SpaceX, whoops, Facebook, which Regina Duggan is involved with doing internet over Africa. Whoops. Yeah, poof. Those satellites that blew up. Good thing. Maybe it was sabotage. Would be a good thing. But these satellites are going to be launching this whole next level of frequencies across the planet. And researchers have fully admitted that we haven't done any full spectrum research on what this is going to do. Not only to our children, but to the human brain. And they're already finding in research that even just the simple act of texting, even just, like I've been saying for a very long time, this dangling dopamine carrot, this dopamine reaction that is being created in your brain just by having a device that pushes that button. Every time you hear an email, ding! You get that dopamine reaction. It makes you like a little mousy that wants to run to your device, and you get that little dose of anticipation. Get you all excited. And it becomes addictive. Just like cocaine, just like gambling. And hey, they know all of this because this is some of the same chemicals that they use to treat Parkinson's patients. These are the same chemicals that they've been doing experiments, doing live brain surgery on TV to implant an implant into a Parkinson's patient's brain to be able to push that dopamine button to make them all better. Parkinson's patients have a reduction in dopamine. But guys, as they are cracking all of the mysteries of the brain and of the body and of DNA and how to manipulate these things for their benefit, and right now, they're like little kids in a Lego store. I mean, think about that. I don't know how many of you were fans of Lego as kids, but that was probably my all-time favorite toy. Seen Legos and Barbies. Those were our two big toys that we played with. But Legos especially, I really think that's where the beginnings of my little engineering brain started. But I loved Legos. We used to build anything and everything, anything our imagination could put into our head. But that's what they're doing right now. DNA is like little Legos. And now, instead of just having white, red, yellow, and blue, Now we got two shiny colors. We got a shiny gold and a shiny silver, and those are called X and Y DNA Legos. They're about ready to set the world on fire, creating artificial synthetic life. Never before seen, ever. Anywhere in the planet or in the solar system. That's got to be frightening to everyone. One of the things that they've been discovering, so let's get back to this frequency thing that I'm not really making any definitive observations about. But one of the things that they discovered is using frequencies, they could get nanoparticulates into the brain. And remember, frequencies are ubiquitous. We saw something way, way long ago where an artist had found a way to map an entire room of all the different types of waves that were being passed through that room, whether it be your AM and FM radio, whether it be broadcast television. I think he was in like Norway or something, so they still might have broadcast TV there. Whether it be 802.11, whether it be your handheld 900 megahertz old school phone, whether it be your 3G or your 4G, and anything else that might be beaming around that room. And he made them all visual and put them on a screen. And it was really horrifying to see that anyone in that room was being bathed by 10 or 12 different types of electromagnetic radiation. Now, guys, add to that, of course, all the stuff that's coming from space that our magnetosphere might not be protecting us from. There are issues with the magnetosphere now as well. And lots of mad science experiments. I was reading that Tether incident where they electrified the upper atmosphere from NASA. I mentioned that incident before. We had all those little swarmy things in the telescope that were all around that broken tether. But one of the things, and it was even in Wikipedia, that it was talking about is that when they electrified that tether, that it caused some sort of, I don't know if it was deflation or a draining. That's how they worded it. A draining of the Van Allen radiation belt. And that Van Allen radiation belt actually has kind of recreated itself, but they were talking about how it caused some major disruptions in the magnetosphere. Now, the magnetosphere is what protects us, like a bubble, from the dangerous rays, particles, and frequencies coming from outer space, from, you know, heavenly bodies. Guys, I think we are being bathed in a lot more than what we could even potentially realize. Hence, I say a whole month worth of shows. But here's a story that came out last week. And even Newsweek did an expose on it, but it didn't really get much play in any of the mainstream. And you guys want to see what mainstream media is saying? That's what Pigmind's whole archive is about. I remember when I first met him and ran across his archive, I thought to myself, why is this dude posting all of this propaganda bullshit? I'm sorry, but that's exactly what I thought, and I just couldn't figure it out. Like, what point is there in posting this propaganda bullshit I don't want to read? I don't want to know what they're telling people. I don't want to see it because it's all a bunch of lies. But I get it now. See, by following the news every day, and it's from probably 12, 15, 20, 30 sources, depending on who is agreeable and who is not and who's putting strikes out there, it varies. But by watching those headlines every day, catching how the story spinners on stage spin the story, and reading the little blurbs underneath the video that explain the gist of what they're trying to get out there, the official narrative, it's become a very invaluable tool for me to take a look at as I'm using my own powers of deduction and reading stories and reading between the lines like we do almost every day here when we look at news stories and then we decode them as to what they really mean. that ability, especially today, as we're seeing the lies just spewing out of mainstream. And this whole Hillary thing is just full out and out lies. You know, I saw Bill Clinton yesterday at an event. And maybe he misspoke. But maybe they just can't get their story straight. I saw Bill Clinton tell a group of people that Hillary had the flu. It was yesterday, but wait, didn't we have all this verification from all these doctors who said she had pneumonia, who said she had dehydration, who said she had who the hell knows what? Wobbly shoes. I don't believe anything they tell you. So anyway, interestingly enough, the story comes out the other day. Newsweek picks it up. There really wasn't much fanfare anywhere, and it is now gone in the memory hole. But I found this quite alarming, number one, considering some of the stuff that we've dug into. And number two, shouldn't they be making us wear masks? Listen to the title. Potentially toxic magnetic nanoparticle pollution found in human brains. What? Yes, nanoparticle, toxic metal, nanoparticle pollutions in your brains. I wonder if it has to do with driving behind buses that don't have any type of safe pollution safeguards on them. Researchers have discovered significant quantities of potentially toxic magnetic nanoparticles in human brains, sparking fears that they could lead to what? Oh, brain diseases. Well, holy shit, thank God. We have this whole global brain initiative going on right now. Obama is fully behind it. We got precision medicine that has spun out of that. Or vice versa, brain initiative spun out of precision medicine. We got Looney Tunes galore in research labs all over the world that are finding ways to stick little nanowires into mousies' brains and push little buttons. All kinds of scientists working on their shared collaboration in neuroscience between the United States and Israel. Israel's coming up with all kinds of new crazy neuroscience cures. Yeah, that's got to make you feel good. So don't worry about all the nanoparticle toxic brain pollution that you have, people. That's not just here. It's all over. Because we'll have a cure for you. If you didn't get Zika, you might have toxic nanoparticles in your brain. Hey, what insanity is this?
Tiny magnetic particles from air pollution have for the first time been found lodged in human brains. The discovery suggests a possible causal link between dirty air and Alzheimer's disease. Researchers used microscopic and spectroscopic analysis to find deadly magnetite particles distinct looking from those that form naturally in the brain.
Seeing these particles with their very distinctive morphologies and size distributions tells you that they haven't been dissolved. They look like they looked when they were in the atmosphere. And as well as being in the atmosphere, they're now, we see them in the brain. Because magnetite is such a dangerous mineral for the brain, looking for and identifying magnetite in the human brain, that's why it's significant.
Magnetite is a magnetic toxic mineral long associated with neurodegenerative diseases. Particles under 200 nanometers in diameter can enter the brain directly through the nose by breathing. Samples of 37 individual brains from people living in air pollution hotspots, Mexico City and Manchester, showed some magnetite particles under 5 nanometers in diameter. Although not claiming a definite link between the particles and Alzheimer's, the team thinks future research on the possibility is essential.
If pollution-derived magnetite particles are a substantial causal link involved in neurodegenerative disease, that drives A, the individual level of trying to reduce their own exposure, but B, policymakers to try to do something to reduce the health burden. Alzheimer's disease may be a modern epidemic of our own making.
It's believed that 44 million people globally suffer from forms of dementia, with Alzheimer's by far the most common.
And then add to that all the brain-wasting diseases, Alzheimer's, Parkinson's. Well, it's not really brain-wasting, but I guess it is. Personality-wasting. CJD, CBJD. These particles, made from a form of iron called magnetite, are produced during combustion. What? Yes, combustion. And can reach high levels in polluted areas. A study published September 5th in the journal Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences suggests that these pollutants can make their way into the brain when what? Oh, inhaled. Remember, we talked about and we researched the best way for nanoparticles to get in your brain is inhalation. You gotta be kidding me that they just figured this out on September 5th. I call bullshit on that, to be completely honest. So it suggests that these pollutants can make their way into the brain when inhaled, either through the lungs, or more likely, directly through the olfactory bulb where smell is processed. And yes, that is where our research showed as well. And in the paper, scientists examined the brains of people who lived in Mexico City and Manchester, England, who were subject to high levels of particulate pollution during their lives. And some of those people also had Alzheimer's or dementia, ding ding. And researchers are concerned that these particles may increase the risk for such brain diseases, says Barbara Mayer, scientist at the University of Lancaster and the study's first author. The recognition that nanoparticles of industrially generated magnetite are able to make their way into the brain tissues, and that is disturbing. You think? Joe Kirkchink, researcher at Caltech, who was not involved in this paper? I mean, it's in our brains, guys. We knew it was. I'm telling you, there is something very nefarious afoot. How are you going to tell me that in 2016, with all this technology, you just figured this out? I don't think so. I don't think so at all. The fact that I've already read about transmission routes of nanoparticles and how to cross that blood-brain barrier to get them into the blood, they had already identified two, count them, not one, but two routes of transmission that were most effective, and one was through the small intestine, and one was through inhalation. And now we're just discovering, whoops, yeah, we're already loaded with them. We knew we were already loaded with them. We assumed we were already loaded with them, but now, here it comes, proof in the pudding. In 1992, Kirschink discovered that magnetite can naturally be produced inside of the brain, where it serves an as-yet unknown function. Magnetite has also been found in the neural tissues of other animals, such as birds and bumblebees, so very interesting there, where it may be involved in the navigation and recognizing the Earth's magnetic fields. And, you know, we were just talking about the magnetic fields and the Van Allen radiation belts and the radiation that we receive from outer space, et cetera, et cetera. This stuff is all connected. This all is connected to frequencies and magnetic fields and the manipulation of those fields, and they can do that with frequencies. Guys, there is some really scary stuff coming, I think. Let's continue reading this, because like I said, don't you think this should have been headline news everywhere? Everywhere! Our brains are loaded with potentially toxic nanoparticles caused by a lifetime of pollution. Shouldn't there be some sort of reparations for that, especially if you're now going to end up with illnesses that are making you bankrupt? because you don't have health insurance, or your health insurance now has a deductible of $10,000 or $20,000 that you got to pay up front before your insurance even kicks in to help you out with this debilitating, mind-eating disease that wasn't your fault at all. It came from environmental factors. It came from pollution that should have been regulated by places such as the FDA, no, the EPA, which has been shown to not really be watching out for our best interests to begin with. Shouldn't there be some sort of fault that is pointed at? If this is going to affect all of us, shouldn't there be a class action lawsuit? Shouldn't there be something? And not a peep, crickets, as Hal would say. But anyway, this internally produced material, the little bit of magnetite they found in the brains, is contained within cells, and spectroscopic imaging of these particles is found to be very small and spherical and different in the appearance from the naturally produced magnetite. These externally derived nanoparticles from your environment are, however, likely to be toxic to the brain, says Mayer. You know, and then there's another question. Where really are these little spherical toxic nanoparticles coming from? Good question. Magnetite is a particularly concerning pollutant because it forms destructive chemicals called reactive oxygen species, which leads to damage and inflammation. Ding, inflammation, the root of all disease. And the fact that it is also magnetic could cause interactions with external magnetic fields, which may also further problems like people getting dizzy and falling over, or being susceptible to magnetic fields.
The centerpiece of the MagForce Nano Cancer Therapy is the nanoparticle, consisting of iron oxide. The particle is covered by a patented coating which ensures a good stability and division of the iron oxide particles in the tumor tissue. It additionally supports the process by which the particles are absorbed into the cancer cells. The small size of the particle is decisive for the therapy. The diameter measures some 20 nanometers and is thus 500 times smaller than a red blood cell. 1 milliliter of the particle solution contains nearly 17 trillion single nanoparticles. This high density makes efficient treatment possible. At the beginning of the therapy, the nanoparticles are injected directly into the tumor. The tumor in this particular case is a glioblastoma, a malignant brain tumor characterized by aggressively growing cells. On the microscopic level, the healthy cells can be seen on the left and the tumor cells on the right. After being injected, the nanoparticles spread out in the spaces between the tumor cells. The patient now enters the therapy device in which an alternating magnetic field is produced, which is of no danger to humans. This field affects a 100,000 times alternation of the magnetic poles within the particles per second, creating warmth which is precisely regulated from outside. The warmth forces the particles into the spaces between the tumor cells, which makes it easier for them to be absorbed into the cell. This application is repeated and the thermal effect increases visibly. The particles begin to oscillate, causing the cancer cells to die either from active self-destruction or from swelling until they literally burst. Tumor growth is stopped and the destroyed cells, as well as the nanoparticles, are discharged by the body in a natural process. As a rule, the 1 hour minimal invasive treatment is repeated 6 times. However, the particles are only injected once, thus making the therapy especially gentle on the patient.
Magnetite is commonly produced when combustion takes place in the presence of hot iron, as is the case in all vehicle engines, stoves, and other industrial processes. Guys, our entire industrial revolution, then, according to this study, has been spewing toxic magnetite nanoparticles into the environment. I mean, could be coming from anywhere, but don't you think this should have been front page news? Where's China in this? I would think that China, being as polluted as it is, and taking much of our manufacturing over the last 20, 30 years, that China should be very bathed in these magnetite particles if this is really true. This study is a continuation of the work done by Lillian Calderon Gutnerdiness, who has studied the effects of particulate pollution on the brains of Mexico City residents, and that is another polluted city. Her research shows that some residents of the city exposed to high level of particulates present in the air can have Alzheimer's-like changes in their brains as young as their teenage years. George Perry, a prominent researcher with the University of Texas at San Antonio, says that his own work has shown that there are higher levels of magnetite within the amyloid plaques that are characteristic of Alzheimer's disease, and these appear to be internally produced. But in this study, it's showing that magnetite can also make it into the brain from air pollution, and this is some of the strongest evidence yet that suggests how our environment may impact our brain. However, all this research emphasized that it is yet unclear if the magnetite could cause or increase the risk for Alzheimer's disease, but Mayer says it should be studied in the future. Now, I don't know. Put on a seatbelt, people. So if the Industrial Revolution, which has been going on for, what, 100 years now, probably here any year in this spectrum, when did they first start pumping out cars on the assembly line? Big steel and all of the big billionaires back in those days. And it has now caused our brains to be bathed in nanoparticles that then potentially could cause brain-wasting diseases that we're seeing an epidemic of right now. Of course, remember, we have the COP21 going on. There's a big battle going on also between some of the oil moguls, Wall Street, and some of the people that are pushing for renewables. They really... And, of course, the Saudis in the Middle East and any place else that produces oil, you know, they're really pushing now to get rid of oil. Of course, combustion. They're going to get rid of fireplaces. I mean, that was something that they also mentioned. Stoves. You have an iron stove, cast iron stove. What about cast iron cookware? Heating cookware. Having your fire and your little wood burner. I don't know, guys. It's really, really worrying. So as we're looking at all of this, we're looking at the mad science that's happening. We're looking at splicing and dicing the genome and manipulating things. I mean, with the brain, they have been doing all kinds of research with imaging and nanoparticulates to deliver targetedly medications to cure diseases of the brain and the body, but mainly the brain and how to get across that blood-brain barrier. Well, they've done it. Our brains are loaded with them now. They went in through the olfactory bulb, they said, most likely. Well, something happened yesterday. These guys have been involved from the very beginning. When I started digging into genetic modification and big pharma and some of the history of the biowarfare program, you start seeing a lot of the same players that pop in and out and owners of technology and creators of this research and people that have been in charge. Well, here we go. I don't know exactly how this connects to nanoparticles, guys, I told you. But you know what? It's all part of the same big, scary ball of wax. Breaking. It's out of Heather Callaghan's Natural Plays. This is actually one of Heather's stories. Bayer Monsanto merger confirms $66 billion acquisition. Now, we have Monsanto being purchased by Bayer. Bayer happens to be a German company. A German pharmaceutical and agri-giant company who's been practicing mad science for a very long time. And it didn't even strike me right off the bat, the connection, until I watched yesterday their announcement video. And they had one of the big boys. And I don't know. I don't know if we're going to attempt this. But maybe. Let's see if we can screw things up anymore. I don't know. It's just been one of those days. But hey, guess what? Good news. Getting my blood pressure up doing the show made my headache go away. So I guess that's a good thing. All right, we're going to try and add the uncooperative machine to the call. Because that is where I have this article up. But I wanted to play. Oh, this might not. Well, let's try. Anyway, what tipped me off to think about the German connection is as I started watching the beginning of this announcement video. Just listen to the dude from Bayer. His name is Werner Baumann, Bayer CEO on the Monsanto deal. Oh, there's an ad. Anyway, as this ad is playing, I'll talk a little bit more. It actually sent chills through my spine when I was listening because all I started thinking about were Operation Paperclip scientists being brought here, being taken to Plum Island and Fort Detrick, Maryland to work on biowarfare projects after World War II. And how out of that came a lot of this genetic modification that they've been messing with for a very long time. Here we go.
That's an important thing, and that is what we've really been looking at, is what it takes in order to serve our customers and the growers better in the future. And the great combination of Monsanto and us is doing exactly that, where we can bring better solutions faster to the growers so that they can help contribute to feeding an ever-growing world. This is what this is all about.
Yeah, this is what it's all about. Let's make it faster and better. Oh, man, I hate this echo.
I guess I'm going to
turn that off. If it doesn't, oh, better not lock up my machine here. Faster and better is what it's all about, creating things to feed this blossoming population on this planet. Of course, natural seeds won't feed everybody. It's all about splicing and dicing and doing it as quickly as possible to make lots and lots of money without looking down the future timeline as to how it's going to affect the environment or the people or the genetic code. Yeah, that type of partnership. So we got Monsanto and Bayer. Mr. German Bayer, very German accent that just scares me. Previously, we reported that Bayer AG, one of the world's largest crop chemical businesses, second only to Syngenta. And remember, Monsanto was going to be purchased by Syngenta, and that deal fell through, but they were planning on changing their name and moving to Europe as well. So, the world's largest crop chemical business, second only to Syngenta, was out to acquire or merge with Monsanto, the multinational seed and biotech corporation, and one of the biggest mergers in recent history. In fact, this all-cash deal for $66 billion with a B dollars has now created the world's largest supplier of seeds and agricultural chemicals and the biggest German-American transaction to date. Ding! Ding, ding, we got the Germans back. And they're going to help us experiment on Americans again. Don't forget, the U.S. is one of the only places where they are still allowing full out and out assault on the population. We just had that Monsanto Protection Act passed. we had that labeling law passed, I don't know, Safe Food Act or whatever the hell they were calling it, that actually weakened labeling laws. And now we have CRISPR technology. See, we're going to connect all those dots. That circumvents any type of labeling laws that even were maybe out there, kind of. They don't have to label CRISPR. Now we got the Germans, the two biggies in the industry that are going to put their heads together and come up with more dangerous poisons and experiments that they could do on our food supply that is going to affect not only people, but livestock, soil, according to Dr. Huber. Remember, glyphosate was damaging microbiota in our guts, in the animals' guts, affecting fertility, killing good soil microbes, and potentially killing the bees. Guys, this is a huge, huge deal. Again, I saw a little bit of coverage, but they're not exposing this for the insanity that it is. Let's read Heather's story. She did a very good job of it. Bayer and the wooed Monsanto. Bayer then wooed Monsanto by offering more money per share, up the ante, and $4 billion more than the initial offer. Monsanto did an about-face and quickly pulled out of an Indian GM cotton initiative. And also this week, and remember, India is, of course, our other mad science petri dish for all these things. That is where they are still working on edible vaccines, we discovered. And Bill Melinda Gates Foundation is sprinkling lots of money over there. Monsanto did an about-face and quickly pulled out of an Indian GM cotton initiative. And also this week, Monsanto abandoned its share in seed breeding company Intergrain, which had a genetically engineered drought-tolerant wheat in development. This unloading was conveniently subsidized by the Western Australian government. And some think that Monsanto made this recent move to sweeten the deal for Bayer AG. Monsanto made the following announcement: Bayer and Monsanto to create a global leader in agriculture. Bayer and Monsanto today announced that they signed a definitive merger agreement under which Bayer will acquire Monsanto for $128 a share in an all-cash transaction. Monsanto's board of directors, Monsanto's board of management, and Bayer's supervisory board have unanimously approved this agreement. And based on Monsanto's closing price of May 9, 2016, which was the day before Bayer's first written proposal, this offer represents a premium of 44% to that price. The aggregate value of the merger acquisition is the symbolically significant number of $66 billion, with an expected annual synergies of approximately $1.5 billion after 3 years. Monsanto says that the merger brings the two different but highly complementary businesses together. And think about it, Bayer also makes lots of medications. However, that precisely is why antitrust experts warned against this merger and believe that it is to be illegal in the first place, as reported by John Vibes, good old JG. When Monsanto was named the world's most admired company by Fortune magazine, the corporation had little competition in the biotech sector. This leaves one to ponder the real long-term impact of such a mammoth osmosis. Hugh Grant, what a funny Hugh Grant, chairman and chief executive officer of Monsanto, made the following statement, which may or may not be an indication of the company's true intentions. Today's announcement is a testament to everything we've achieved and to the value that we have created for our stakeholders. Remember, it's all about stakeholder value. It's not about you or me. And we believe that this combination with Bayer represents the most compelling value for our shareholders, with most certainly through the all-cash consideration. And think about it, guys. So not only do they have our seeds and they have the most prominent weed killer that's in breast milk and rainwater now, it's in a good majority of our food through the high fructose corn syrup and everything else, and crops are just being sprayed with it everywhere. We got all these, we got BT corn, we got I don't know. I'm trying to even think of what else they have right now. I don't know. Whatever. Monsanto's got so many things going on. Well, they got the Agent Orange from way back when. There's not... Monsanto was not a good company in any way, shape, or form, and their history has shown that they have produced nothing but poisons. They started as a company producing pesticides, and now they're a company that produces food. We have Bayer that's an agri company, but they're also a pharma company producing drugs and getting into mad science gone mad. But this is all part of the same thing. If we take this all back to the biowarfare program, guys, this is where it all started. This is where they started manipulating life to see what they could splice and dice. I mean, we found even back in the 80s, it was documented that they were messing around with genetically modifying foods. But if we take it back to the 50s, the 40s and the 50s, and you go back to Plum Island and Fort Detrick, Maryland, and look at some of the stuff they were doing there, guys, this goes way, way back, and it ties the Americans and the Germans together. I don't know. I'm going to predict that if there's some sort of antitrust trial or committee that they have to go up in front of, I don't think they're going to block this. I think that they're going to butt-pat and slippery palm a few people and get themselves in with all the other rich billionaires that are part of this corporatocracy that's taking over. They're going to let this all go through. Isn't that the first multinational corporate marriage of its kind? Financial experts report U.S. chemical giant Dow Chemical and DuPont have also agreed to merge. Did you know about that? Dow and DuPont have agreed to merge and spin off their respective seeds and crop chemical operations into a major agribusiness. Syngenta last year fought off unwanted suitor Monsanto, only to agree to be taken over by ChemChina. So it was the other way. Monsanto wanted to buy Syngenta, but a Chinese company stepped right up and bought them instead. NPR reports the final details of the acquisition. The analysts anticipate pushback to the deal, including resistance from farmers. The service writes, the deal comes as falling crop prices have caused a slide in farm profits, which is caught into the amount that farmers can pay for chemicals and seeds. He says that the deal is expected to be completed by the end of 2017, but should the deal fail to win regulatory approval, and this was how Bayer sweetened the deal, they agreed to pay Monsanto $2 billion just to make them feel good because the deal didn't go through. What do you think about them apples? I'm going to tell you, these mergers of some of these mad science corporations isn't good for you and me. This is, again, playing on this precision healthcare, this 21st century, keeping us all safe. Don't forget, our crops are another part of keeping us safe, because there are crop diseases that can wipe things out. That was, again, part of what they were messing with at Plum Island. Bayer Healthcare in 2015 announced investments of $100 million to build a brand new testing facility at the company's 45-acre manufacturing site in West Berkeley, California. The funds will support the pharmaceutical company's next generation of hemophilia therapies. This is blood therapies they're working on. Bayer won approval from the city of Berkeley to make significant changes. And along with this new facility, they're expected to create 325,000 hours worth of jobs at a local contractor. How great is that? I don't know, guys. We'll have to look into this more. All right, where do we end this one up today? I don't even know. Oh, this one's good. All right, we have talked about, again, mad science gone mad. Plum Island, this is a good connecting point. They have now moved Plum Island, which was a level 4 biosafety facility that was off the coast of the United States, off the coast of New York. to Kansas University for the time being until they're done building their new Plum Islands in Manhattan, Kansas, as part of the Department of Homeland Security. Well, Natural Blaze released a story yesterday, and I've been questioning the wisdom of moving that bio-level 4 facility right into Tornado Alley. And we've also been questioning how safe things really are in bio-level 4 since we've had incidents with anthrax and smallpox at the CDC and the FDA and the DOD. We have mad science gone mad, splicing and dicing genomics and bacteria at all these university labs all over with very little, if any, biosecurity, as we found out. His last name was Hammond. We had his interview. The story titled, Coincidence, Kansas Kids Mysteriously Ill in the Same Town as the Forthcoming Department of Homeland Security Biosafety Level 4 Lab, and that is the new Plum Island. Manhattan, Kansas is in the news due to a mysterious illness sweeping through schools and making hundreds of children ill. Symptoms include the necessity to go home due to stomach issues like nausea, vomiting, diarrhea, and at first officials thought it was norovirus. But indeed, the media reports and the officials were certain that it was norovirus, and a major outbreak had practically downed a Nevada school last year. However, as the sickness continues, this idea has been abandoned, even though it is spreading in a similar manner. Additionally, some of the symptoms are not consistent at all among the students. For instance, middle and elementary school students began contracting the illness. Unlike the high schoolers, they are reporting fevers as well. And last Friday, the high school principal issued a desperate plea for sick parents to provide stool samples to the health department. And as sorry as I feel for the children involved, this type of a mystery illness is nothing to what may be waiting for them in the future due to this last reason that the Manhattan, Kansas made headlines. And although it isn't due to be fully operational by 2023, this is the same town that the controversial new site for the Biosafety Level 4 facility that was formerly stationed off the U.S. mainland to keep incidents that read something like Stephen King's book, The Stand, from happening. Thank you guys for hanging out today. Everyone have an awesome Thursday, and I'll catch up with you tomorrow. Everybody take care.